Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams. Stop dieting so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. If you would like to call in and talk with me today, the number is 818-602-4929, 818-602-4929. You'll talk with my engineer, Ronan, who will patch you through to me. I'm doing the show from my home office instead of the studio, so bear with us as we sometimes get into some little glitches. But I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is eating at you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. Food is actually the solution to the problem. The real problem is what's eating at you, what is bothering you. So I invite you to call me, share what is troubling you. This day and age, I'm sure there's a lot that is bothering you, upsetting you. We are living in a pandemic, in a time of social change, upheaval. Quarantine has affected people psychologically, economically, spiritually, in so many different ways. Call, let's have a conversation and see if we can get to the bottom of it. And because when you work through those underlying root issues of what is bothering you, when you find new ways of relating to yourself and responding to yourself, you stop using food for that purpose. So, one question that I've gotten a lot lately is why are people not wearing masks? Why are people not wearing masks? This is something that is bothering a lot of people. A lot of people, my patients, clients, they say to me, why are people not wearing masks?
Hi, Dr. Nina. This is Christina from Binge Free Babes Call.
Hi, Christina. You got through. You emailed me yesterday.
Yes.
And look at that. You're through.
And your magic worked and I got through right away. And obviously I have stuff eating at me. So I was like, I loved the intro because I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to call you because I do have something eating at me and I am not going to food. I'm going to what I feel the issue is. So that's wonderful. And I'm just like, now I'm trying to figure out what to do with this anger.
Okay. So, now, I noticed that you said you want to know what to do with the anger, and then you laughed.
Yeah.
So
I know.
Laughter.
Oh, it's a habit. Yeah. But
it's a habit in service of denying what you just said. So when you say, I'm so mad or I need to deal with my anger, and then you laugh, it's a way of dismissing that anger. So before we talk about how to deal with anger, where do you think you learned that anger is something you should repress?
My upbringing, without a doubt. I grew up in the South in a pretty strict Catholic kind of family, and I was even told specifically not to feel certain ways by my parents. And if I was angry or sad or whatever the case may be, I was given the message even directly to, you should not feel that way. You should not be angry. A lot of shooting on me by them. And I think it's so ingrained in me. And also I do feel there might be some gender issues. I think for women, and this, I could be wrong, women and girls, we're not allowed, as a society as much. Maybe things are changing. I'm not so sure. I mean, Hillary didn't get elected, you know. I just sort of feel that it's tougher for us to be angry. We might be labeled as the B word. I don't know what I can say on the radio. Sorry.
You could say whatever you want. You could say whatever you want. And you're right. Nice girls don't get angry. and boys don't cry. These are the messages that we get from a very early age. And so then what, when you have those feelings, as you are so correctly recognizing, there's a part of you that identifies with those messages from your upbringing. And a part of you just right. automatically says no. But I wonder if you have gotten mad at yourself. Do you have a problem with that?
Yes, that's a huge thing. So what will happen is I will be mad at someone or something, and then I will turn it internally towards myself and be angry at myself and have the worst kind of self-talk, although I'm catching it now due to your trainings. Terrible self-talk or acting out through bulimic behavior or over-exercising or overeating. And actually, things have improved greatly despite having, I also, you know, we are all going through the COVID. And then prior to that, I had a really bad auto accident. And then prior to that was the death of my dad and falling out with my mother. So it really has been probably, I would say, as I approach 50, the most challenging time in my life. And thank goodness for your books and the show. And I've also been working on some other things. And my question is, I did have an issue. And again, I sort of laughed, and that's not a laugh. I had something come up with my therapist that, yeah, thank you. And I had something come up with my therapist. I actually no longer see her right now. If I could I go into that real quickly?
Absolutely.
And I think that's, okay. So, I have been putting in a lot of work in myself because of my previous history of bulimia and all of the other things, including this car accident that did give me some permanent nerve damage. I was diagnosed with thoracic outlet syndrome and cervical radiculopathy. So it is true. I really wanted to not be bulimic and binge eat. So I had done a lot of things with like therapy, meditations. I actually started, I know you're not a huge proponent of meditation, but because I was experiencing nerve pain and I didn't want to go the medication route because I have a lot of side effects to them, I was doing a Birkin monastery retreat with some chanting and some meditation.
Can I just clarify something, Christina? Because I am a fan of whatever works. Why I'm not a fan of meditation often in the early stages of healing your relationship with yourself and food is that the very state of meditation, which is sort of a state of being, can be a huge trigger for people who can't be with themselves and use food to distract. So that I just want to clarify that I'm a fan.
And I apologize if I put words in your mouth. I definitely but thank you.
I just wanted to clarify. I am a fan of whatever works. And if meditation helps you, that's great.
Yes. I needed to try and do a lot of different things because I feel I had so many things on my plate. So the triggering event that happened during a session was and it was actually during multiple sessions where she and I bristled. I know I have narcissistic tendencies, but she called me very, very, I was being very, very self-absorbed these past, and this accident happened 18 months ago. I've had over 100 physical therapy sessions, 50 acupuncture sessions. This was so that I wouldn't have to go a drug or a surgery route. I am much improved. I will probably never be the same. And as an athlete, you know, that's definitely been a huge challenge. So I'd been doing all of these things. I was pretty proud of myself for not engaging in bulimic behavior. And my weight has been pretty steady, which has been sort of a nice surprise and a shocking thing there. And just trying to do a lot of the things like you've taught, which are positive self-talk, speaking in the first person, stopping if I'm getting really anxious and not going to food and thinking what is the issue in particular and not talking ad nauseum about what did I eat, what am I going to eat, and actually with all of these serious health issues, it's been easier to sort of put that aside and deal with these things. So anyway, she was, you know, she just called me self-absorbed. And so I immediately, I think, went back to my parental upbringing where my mother was always like, you're so selfish and this and that and the other.
That is not okay. That is not okay. I don't know the circumstances. I don't know what happened, But exactly, you got re-traumatized by the person who was supposed to be there to help you, just as you were traumatized, it sounds like, in childhood by the parents who were supposed to help you and raise you. But I just want to say, a therapist should not call somebody self-absorbed. That's not okay. That's not therapeutic, and that's not helpful, and that's not appropriate. So I just have to say that's something I called you,
and I just want to say I feel so much relief, because I'm already, as you know, I'm too hard on myself as it is, and it really did re-trigger me and re-traumatize me, as you said, and I'm like, I got to call Dr. Nina, because, I mean, it has been a really tough 18 months with all of these things going on, and yeah, so I just wanted to get your opinion on that. And I'm not mincing words. And I am proud of myself, because I brought it up to her, exactly that, on the whole self-absorbed and sort of what's that, the difference between. So I'm proud of myself for, instead of just suppressing it and not saying anything, which is would have been my go-to, I let her know. But I probably didn't let her know enough how angry I was about that. And I do want to say, I know I have lots of shit to work on with myself. I get that. But I do want to give myself a break for this being like the most difficult time in my life. And so I did cut it with her. And I just wanted to share that and say,
okay,
I feel I'm making improvements, but... And I know I have a long way to go, and any other thoughts? But that was
okay.
So helpful. Thank you for saying that.
It's absolutely not okay. You are there in therapy to talk about you. That is what you are there to do. It is all about you. And that is what it must be, and that is what it should be. And that is your time, and that is the time for you. So, what I have to say is, I think that your anger understandably at this therapist who said a most untherapeutic thing. I find that horrifying. I don't know the context, and I don't know exactly what, but you don't, that is not something a therapist says. For all of you who haven't been to therapy, a therapist should not call you self-absorbed or call you names or disparage you. A therapist is there to help you understand yourself. So when you get angry at this therapist, it also taps into your probably unresolved anger, rage, even with your parents. So now you have a double whammy. You have the anger in the present towards a person who has just betrayed you that takes you to a prior time in your life when you were also betrayed and, as you said, called selfish. And so she just repeated the past.
Right.
And now you have anger from the present and the past, and that is a lot of anger, and it's hard to hold it, to express it, when you got whatever you intellectually, rationally know that it is good to express anger and all of that. There's still a part of you that identifies with that upbringing that says no, don't. Nice girls aren't angry.
Right. And as you pointed out, it is hard for me. I want to cover up the shame of that I feel from having feelings, which when I say that sounds insane, but I mean, I understand with my upbringing that that's the case. I want to cover that up with laughter. I really see that clearly now. You know, I want to be the bubbly, happy, positive, and then the problem is undercover, you know, not at night, but like, you know, undercover, under darkness. Then I will take that out on myself. And ironically, I see why I went to it initially, because it is that kind of behavior was self-soothing in the immediate moment. So that's how I would, with the bulimia, would get rid of that anger, was through that behavior, and it would make me feel better in the interim. But, you know, long term, thank goodness, I became very disenchanted with that, and I wanted better for myself. I want better for myself. So, yeah, it's like a chain reaction, I think. Like, when I heard that, it just set off so many other issues. And just quickly, the context was, I filled her in on everything that was going on, the things that were difficult for me to deal with. And so I gave her a list as to all of the stuff that I was doing, you know, the Oprah and Deepak meditations and this daily Birkin retreat where there were podcasts, and it was really helping. And then the context was that, you know, you are very self-absorbed. What are you going to do? You know, when are you going to volunteer? When are you going
to have done in the past? No. Oh my God. This is absolutely reprehensible. Basically, you're there to learn self-care and to learn how to take care of yourself and to recover from the emotional and physical trauma of this car accident and your upbringing. And when you report all the things that you are doing that is helping you, she shames you for not volunteering? What? No. If I were in my radio studio right now, I would have that large crowd boo button and I would be pressing it. No. This is absolutely unacceptable. Ugh. No.
Well, I just wanted to thank you for acknowledging that, because I think that's the problem I had when I was growing up, when your parents are there who might be, you know, the cause of some of these things, and there's nobody to acknowledge you and share in that, right? You know, that's, I'm not, because what happens is I feel I'm the crazy one. So I just want to say, I knew I need, what happened was I ended it with her very abruptly in terms of, because I had recurring sessions. And I immediately joined your group. I just want to say,
I'm glad you
what
did.
You've done for me right now is you've given me the courage to continue on this journey, because when it's something that damaging from somebody who is in a position of authority, at least to me, a therapist is in a position of, you know, education and knowledge above what I have, it is, I'm feeling right now, like, I mean, it was hurtful. I was very sad, anger for sure, but also sad fear, like, oh my gosh, like, I'm a bad citizen, I'm a bad person, you know, it just takes me right back into that. So
the little girl,
you are saved, you have saved the day. So thank you so much. I mean, I'm laughing because I'm like, wow, how nice to just have somebody commiserate and a professional to be like, no, because a lot of top professionals can disagree with each other for sure. And like I said, I've noticed very positive, some quick, some are slower than others, changes that I've been able to make in my behavior, my thought process, just from reading your books and listening to your show and being in your groups. And so I knew that that was the route to take, and that's what works. But yeah, that was a toughie for me in life, I got to say. And I'm like, I don't need that on top of all this other crap.
Well, I'm glad you called, and I'm glad I could clarify that. And I mean, what I would have said to you was, I am so glad that you are taking such good care of yourself. And this is a far better way to take care of yourself than bulimia or binge eating. And I'm proud of you. That's what I would have said. So thank you, Christina. Thank you for having
the wherewithal
to take care of yourself and to call in and share this and give me the opportunity to help you out a little bit.
A million thank yous. I really appreciate it. And I love all of your callers too, the regulars and all that call in. I get a lot out of it.
Oh, I am so glad to hear that. And Ronan is telling me we have more callers behind you. So listen in and thank you again for starting off the show with this wonderful call.
Thank you, Dr. Nina. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Oh, boy, that made me mad. So, Ronan, we have callers waiting.
Hello.
Hi there. Is this Carly Gash?
Hi, Dr. Hello. Nina. This is Carla Gash.
Hi, Carla
Angry
Gash.
Carla Gash. it's so magical how all the thematic colors and everything tunes to whatever is going on. But I was going to call with a question about procrastination, how to do things.
Procrastination. Okay.
Yeah. Avoidance, delay, procrastination. That's a problem in my life. But before like calling you, I'm doing some weight management program, and my coach there, I just opened and I saw that she rewound everything in the wrong. I lost all my progress and she rewound. So basically she did the wrong thing. She rewound and she did it for the second fucking time. I'm so sorry for swearing. And I just texted her, I want another coach. What did you just bitch do? I lost all my progress and all the track, and it's baffling to like, you know. And she did it for me for the second time. She doesn't understand what I'm asking from her. So I was like, I want another coach. You're not listening to me. I'm just angry at her, period. That's like,
well, you're angry. Give that anger a voice. And yes, that it is thematic. Although you called about procrastination, Christina's experience with her ex-therapist is, of course, now making, you know, giving you sort of the open door to express your anger with this coach. Although I don't know what this weight loss coach is, but. Is it focusing on food?
You mean the program?
Yeah.
No, it's all together. I need to monitor what I eat, also okay. My exercise routine, and they give psychological articles every week, like explaining how eating behavior works to bring awareness to it. Like, okay. You know.
So
it's a good
so
program.
The program is good, but the coach not so good for you.
The coach is like, the coach doesn't give a fuck. I'm sorry. I was you know how I always think like, oh, I need to step. Although I paid money and I deserve the same amount of support as other members. But I'm always like, I'm always hard on me. You know, I'm always, oh, Carla Gash. Talking in the second voice to me like, you're not doing it right, you should be more consistent, it's all your problem. And then I'm like, wait a minute, this program is supposed to help me. I don't know how to manage my eating.
Good.
That's why I spend money. That's why I spend money in the first place.
So
I want
Carly
to swear
Gash,
so much in the first fucking place.
This
to
is
help, to get help.
This is
it's
very
like
good.
It's like Christina's therapist who was supposed to help her, and what did she do? Just re-traumatize her. This therapist, people should not be therapists in the first place. They just should not have licenses. Like, you know.
See, now you're getting upset at the right person. Initially, you recognize that you were getting mad at yourself in that normal way,
yeah,
in which you turn on yourself. I think last week when you called, it was, see, Instagram people, I know you can't hear what I'm saying. I'm missing some equipment that I'm still waiting for. It's on back order. So just bear with me. You're going to have to only hear my answers to the people who are calling. Sorry about that. It'll be fixed when we get the technology. Carly Gash, you went from starting off with the typical, see, you tearing yourself down, which of course makes you feel bad. And then when you feel bad, you're more likely to turn to food to feel better or to escape that mean voice. But instead of doing that, you caught yourself. And I'm really proud of you because you've worked really hard. I can tell just even the last calls. And I know you're in, you know, we work together in my program. You've worked really hard to challenge that voice, and there you did it. You caught yourself and you directed your anger where it really is directed, like the source of it. The source of it is this woman is making you mad. You turned it into you're mad at yourself, but then you caught yourself and you turned back. So good for you.
Yes, thank you. And then I wanted to, you know, it's so good to express anger at right people, as I always turn to myself and like feel shitty. And then, of course, I overeat. But people call, honestly, people call shit. That's the reality. People call shit. And no matter how they mask it, no matter how polite they fucking are, no matter how good they use the right words, they call, they are not right. That's the problem. Christina's therapist was not right calling her name. And my coach is not right. And that's the thing. And I hate it. I am just learning to like face and oppose people who are politely abusive, you know? They are doing their fucking abusive shit, whatever, calling your names or ruining your progress or like eating your money or taking whatever or ruining your progress. But they put it in so nice words, you know? And like Christina says, we are afraid to be called bitches. Or I, when I was angry and expressing my emotions when I was a kid, I was called selfish, too much, crazy, all this stereotypical, whatever people call. But I was angry for a reason, like right now. And I'm learning how to be angry at people who do polite abuse, an abuse covered with nice, polite explanations or what words or whatever. But what they're doing in the first place, they're just covering their ass. That's what they're doing. And because they say it so nicely, and I don't have a skill maybe sometimes to put things so nicely together, because I was not training myself in manipulation my whole life, but I was studying actually to do the right thing. That's why I appear like, you know, the one who is guilty or whatever. And it's just, I'm still learning oppose somehow and deal with this polite abuse, like, and say, hey, wait a minute, you are not right.
You are doing it. You are actually catching it and doing it. And often when, like Christina said, a position of authority and a coach, someone who's supposed to help you, when those people betray you or let you down or, you know, really mess up in a pretty egregious way or even not an egregious way, that can take you back to other times in your life when people have, especially parents or family members, have similarly mistreated you. And so again, you have this situation with the coach, but you also, that could take you back to a similar situation, not being heard, not being responded to, not being attuned to by a family member. And so now you have the anger in the present about this coach, but it takes you to this anger in the past as well of what is unresolved. And that's why I say the past is not in the past. The past is not over when we continually feel it in the present. And the key to that, of course, is to heal the past, come to terms with it, mourn what happened, mourn what didn't happen. And that's how you heal. So that then you have a coach in the present who messes up and mistreats you in this way. And instead of it going to this super intense, strong place of rage or intense anger, you can get angry at her, but not get overwhelmed by it. Does that make sense?
Yes. Just right now, you should see my face. I'm just angry, disappointed at the same time. Like my whole face and my whole body is like in anger. And oh, I just hate her for causing this emotion in the first place. And then, of course, I will procrastinate. Of course, I will avoid because she's messing up with my whole thing. I'm like focused on right now. And now she removed all the tools today from me. And what am I supposed to do? And my progress, like I've been doing like 4,500 steps every day. And I was really working hard to get this goal. And now I'm back to zero, to like 100 steps a day. Like, are you serious?
What can you do? What can you do about the situation?
I'm going to call the support system or whatever program, headquarters of this app. I'm gonna, what do you call it in English? Complain about her, say to ask to change my coach, to give me like really considered coach who really works to me towards me with my progress. And I want to ask them to rewind everything back to my progress today now. So I don't lose again another week when she's like, when she has time to deal with me.
You're taking action. And that is also going to help you a lot. One of the hardest parts of being mistreated by an authority or a perceived authority is the helplessness that comes from it. That sense of they just did something to me and I can't do anything about it, which is the helplessness of childhood.
No, it's vice versa. When I get angry, I actually do action, but I want to learn how actually to do things without waiting until I'm angry and bursting. And then I use this as a start, like as an ignition to do something. I want to learn to do stuff before the bubble burst.
You did it. You went from in the past calling and saying how mad you were at yourself. See, you always screw up and you this and you, and you know, using the voice of your family members against yourself, to today saying that you recognized it, you stopped it, and you directed your anger where it belongs. And that's good. And then you took action. And that's good.
That's true.
Don't tell me you're having to learn something that you're doing. You're actually in the process of doing it. Don't mistake learning something with being at the finish line. When you're running a marathon, you're in the process of it. You don't go to, well, I want to have run a marathon, without running the marathon. Give yourself credit for the process.
That's true, though. Thank you so much. I will learn one step at a time.
You are learning. Today represents a change.
Now with Dr. Nina, I
know you want to finish
line. Liberate myself from eating disorder and be free, and I want it now.
You want patience and you want it now. I get that. I totally do. But you're running a race. If I continue my marathon race, you know, you're running a race. You're not at the start line and you're not at the finish line. You are somewhere in between. And you have to look back and say, wow, I am not at the start. I'm not at the gate. I have come so far. I'm not at the end of the race. But I've come a long way. And you need to recognize that. Mm-hmm. And acknowledge that instead of saying, I'm not at the end yet. When I did my 60-mile walk, Susan G. Komen walk last November, we would get, people would hold up these signs like, you know, 55 more miles to go, which was not very encouraging. But if someone had had a sign that said, you've already done 5 miles, you've already done 10 miles, that was encouraging. Yes, we've already done this and we can keep going. So instead of looking at where you're not, look at where the space, the distance between where you are and where you want to go, look at where you've come from and where you are. That will make you feel better.
Mm-hmm. That's true, though. I've come a long way.
Yes,
and thank you so much, Dr. Nina, for teaching me all this. You really changed my life, honestly. You are the first person who gave tools which actually work, like for real, you know, not a band-aid on a cancer wound, but like, hey, let's do chemo, or what do you call it in English, chemotherapy. Hey, you've got this problem, let's solve it situation. And it takes time and it works. It actually does.
That makes me really happy.
Even with avoidance of procrastination, you know, I tend to sometimes avoid my problems. I'm like, oh, everything is not that bad. I still can like live with the crunches, but no. And then when I face it and do the stuff, what you say, it works.
Well, you made my day, Carly Gash, you and Christina. I'm it's my honor to help. And That's why I'm doing the show and writing my books and all of that, because I know there's a different way. There's a different way other than to feel mm-hmm. bad about yourself and to focus on food and to focus on mm-hmm. all of that. There is a different way. And I'm happy to hear that my way is working for you. So
mm-hmm.
thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye for now.
Okay.
Bye. Oh, that means a lot. Ronan, do I have more callers? Maybe not. Not yet. Okay. So, I started talking about the question, why do people not wear masks? And believe me, this is going to have some pertinence into food, weight, and body image issues, actually. The reason, well, there are a lot of reasons, you know, rebellion against authority and you know, this and that. But ultimately, I think the main reason why people are not wearing masks is what do they tell you if you ask them? They say, oh, this whole thing is overblown. It's not what it's a liberal conspiracy. It's all people who are old. It's all people with underlying health conditions, despite the fact that if you spend, I don't know, 30 seconds looking at science, you see that no, indeed, that is not the case. Of the 121, almost 122,000 people who are dead, yes, 40,000 or 45,000 of them are from nursing homes, I believe. And there are a lot of other people who, yes, had underlying conditions, but it is not all old people. It is not all people with no underlying health conditions. I lost someone who had no underlying health conditions, who had just turned 53. I know other people who are younger, who we all know the stories of people who are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, who have also been affected by this disease. So why do they then, despite all the evidence, which you can get at the, you know, any scientific platform will tell you that this is a deadly disease that could affect anybody. Why do people say, oh, it's not that bad? Denial. I don't want to believe it's that bad, therefore it's not that bad. Because to recognize the severity of it, to recognize our helplessness against it, we don't have a vaccine, we don't have a treatment, that's too scary. And so people go to denial. And one form of denial is sort of minimizing. So minimizing is a defense mechanism that protects us. And we all use these protections. I call defense mechanisms protections because they're a form of trying to protect yourself from what is uncomfortable. The problem is that in protecting yourself from what is uncomfortable, you never deal with what is uncomfortable, or you create a reality that is frightening, or you ignore something that is that needs your attention. One defense mechanism that you hear a lot on this show is turning against yourself. Turning against the self is sort of, it's not you, it's me. It's not that I'm mad at you. I'm mad at myself for eating blah, blah, blah. It's not that I'm mad at my husband, my wife, my brother, my sister. I'm not mad at anyone. I'm not mad at this situation. It's denial of anger, but then putting it on yourself. And I call this the boomerang effect. And the whole point is, let's have it be a frisbee. Let's express anger outward, like a frisbee. Send it out. I'm upset at that person or situation. And also, someone in Binge Free Babes the other day said, well, I don't know how expressing anger is going to change the situation. Why would I do it? It won't change the situation. And I told her, we don't express anger to change the situations. We don't express sadness or worry or guilt or concern or apprehension or any feeling that may come to mind. We don't express it to change the situation. We express it to change the way we feel about the situation. So my best but most morbid example is when someone passes away. We don't say, hey, I'm going to feel my feelings, so this person is going to come back to life. No, this person is gone. We don't grieve. We don't go through the process of mourning and feeling all that grief entails. And denial also. No, that person is not gone. Just when you hear that someone is gone, the most common thing people say is no. Denial. Anger. Depression. Acceptance. So many different feelings that go into the process of grief. We don't do that so that the person will come back to life. We do that so that we come to terms with the loss of the person. We come to terms with that, and that the pain of the loss, as awful as it is, becomes less painful. And then we can eventually hold the memory of that person with love or affection and not be in pain. That person is with us in our hearts, but we don't feel the acute pain of their loss. That's why we feel feelings. So we feel feelings to change the way we feel about the situation, but feeling feelings is important. And turning against the self is the thing that I see most commonly with people with food, weight, and body image issues, because they have always a way to attack themselves. Oh, I'm really mad at X. Oh, no, I'm mad at myself. See how it boomerangs? I'm mad at you. No, I'm mad at me. And people who can't be mad at other people have no problem being really upset with themselves. Oh, look at what the scale says. Oh, my jeans are too tight. Oh, I can't believe I ate that much. I'm disgusting. Or often they say you're disgusting, talking to themselves in second person, as Carly Gash is learning not to do. So turning against the self is a defense mechanism. Another defense mechanism is mind reading. That's when you think you know what people are thinking. And often you think you know what they're thinking, and it's always the worst possible thought that a person could ever have. Now, why would you mind read the worst? So that you're not surprised. If you already know that person doesn't like you or thinks the worst of you or has some negative attitude towards you, then you're ready for it. You won't be surprised when that happens. The problem is you walk around this earth mind reading everybody in the worst possible way and thinking that nobody likes you, and then you don't feel likable, and you trust people's good thoughts towards you and their good feelings towards you, and then you end up having to comfort yourself with food. So mind reading is another biggie, another defense mechanism that is something you want to really take a look at. If you ever find yourself having a thought along the lines of, well, they're probably thinking, oh, I know what they're thinking. I know they're thinking this. When that person hasn't actually said the thing you think they're thinking, that's mind reading. That is mind reading. One time, someone said, I know, a patient said to me, well, I know that what I just said made you really frustrated. I know it. And I know you're thinking all of these things. And she rattled off all these terrible things she thought I was thinking about her. That she was dramatic, that she was oversensitive, that she should get over herself, the words she put in my head were horrible. I said, what makes you think that I'm thinking that? And she said, well, you shifted in your chair. And I could tell by the way you were shifting in your chair that you were thinking all of these terrible things. Now, those terrible things that she thought that I was thinking of her were the things that she was often accused of as a child by her parents. So she transferred all of her parental experience onto me, which was a good thing, because then we could sort of work through it. Then it was in the room. She could say to me what she could never say to those parents and stop, eventually have a different experience with me, in which she realized, no, I was not judging her. I was not thinking any of those things. I actually had a lot of compassion and empathy for her and admired her tenacity. So, and then she could take that experience and take it into the world and think, when she thought, well, people are probably thinking bad things, maybe not. Dr. Nina isn't thinking those things, so maybe they're not thinking those things either. So mind reading is a big one. And the one that I talked about earlier, I didn't express it as a defense mechanism. What's the point of feeling your feelings? That's intellectualizing, right? Well, I see no rational point in having this expression of emotion. That is going into your head, and that's saying, no, I can think away my feelings. I can think rationally and not feel anything uncomfortable. And that's a way that you also protect yourself from your feelings. My mom, last year, her sister died. Her sister was 10 years older. They had a terrible relationship, just terrible. And I was the one to tell her that her sister had passed away. And there was a long pause. And my mom says, oh, everyone I know is dying. Well, I guess she's that age. She's that age where she's, you know, people are dying. What can you do? Total intellectualizing. She refused to get in touch with any feelings she had, even anger at her sister. No feeling. She went right to her head. Because it's too troubling to realize that, you know, her sister was gone and she probably had a lot of mixed feelings about not only the sister she had, but the sister she didn't have. So she intellectualized it. And if you find yourself saying, well, it doesn't make sense. I shouldn't feel this way. It doesn't make sense. Guess what? Feelings are feelings. They're not thoughts. Feelings are reactions to situations, and they aren't logical. It's not logical. It's psychological. So these are some of the common defense mechanisms that people use to stop themselves from feeling something. Of course, they don't work. The feeling is still there. You can't think away your feelings. If you turn on yourself, then you just feel bad about you. You feel terrible. If you mind read other people, so I'm not going to be surprised to know that they hate me because I'm going to already think that they hate me. Well, then you feel terrible. You can't connect with other people. You're always on the alert, on the lookout. What are they thinking? And then food becomes your best friend and your worst enemy. And so as you could see, it is not about food. Food is the solution to the problem. The problem are the thoughts that you have about yourself and other people, what they may be thinking of you. The problem is your maybe inability to self-soothe yourself, your inability to be kind to yourself. This is the problem. Food solves the problem. It gives you comfort. It takes you away from pain. It puts you in that zone. It gives you an opportunity to be mad at yourself so you won't be mad at someone else. It does a lot for you. And so when you recognize what it is, what the underlying problems are, what food is doing for you, and address that in a different way. And you hear my callers every week, they're not talking about food. They're talking about what's eating at them. They're talking about why they're upset. And when they talk that out, they're less likely to use food or eating disorder behavior of any kind to cope. So that's why I say it is not what you are eating that is the problem. It is what's eating at you. And that needs your attention, not your condemnation. So that just about does it for today, for our show today. I am on every Wednesday on LA Talk Radio, every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific here on LA Talk Radio. Folks on Instagram, I apologize. We are still waiting to get the equipment that allows you to hear the callers. So for now, you will only get to hear my response to the callers, but that will change when we get the equipment that is back ordered. So thank you again for joining me. And a couple of the callers mentioned that they're members of the Binge Free Babes. If you're interested in the Binge Free Babes project that I do with Kelly Gunter, just check out bingefreebabes.com and join us. If not, I will see you here next week. Be safe, be healthy, and take good care. Bye for now.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.